Our Father, we thank you again for the night, and we open this precious book again, Lord, and ask to give us wisdom and power and unction, understanding, that we may apply it to our lives in this life. Father, everything in this Bible is written for a purpose, and when we read it, we don't overlook anything at all. We believe this is your word, and we believe God will give us what is needed in this hour. Now, this is a very sensitive subject tonight, Lord, and I pray you keep everything in order and people keep stay up with me, and I pray, Father, this would be something in turn that would help us as Christian lives as we look at what Paul has said. Again, we saw a little bit of it last week, and it led on to this particular subject today due to being in this particular chapter. Not the Holy Spirit, honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray somehow or another that we will honor you by submitting to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I come back to this verse because we got the first three verses last Sunday night as we talked on the subject that why God put man, or actually made man, head of the home. And this is a chapter that's very controversial. And I know this. I've preached from this a few times in my ministry. I'm going to preach tonight in depth of this because you can't divide this up. To do so, you miss the flow of what Paul is trying to say. This is not something God is doing to hurt us. It's not something that some pastor will try to get to use over someone's head. But we do want to open the Word of God up and ask God to give direction to understanding in some of these verses here as we apply them. Now, if you go back to chapter 10, you see the Apostle Paul had been setting up demands of separation. They're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper, which you do in chapter 11 over the latter part of these verses. When you get down to a few verses, he talks about fellowship at the Lord's table demands separation. You don't partake of the Lord's Supper until you are at least clean before God in separation. He goes on, he talks about the law of love when it comes to what we're to be doing, the things we eat and we drink. He talks about the law of love, how we should be able to be strong enough in the Lord not to put a stumbling block before somebody who may be weak in the Lord or just saved or just a babe in Christ. If you look in verse 32 and 33 of chapter 5, he said this. He summed these words up. He said, give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. To me, that's fascinating. As he gives these things, he's talking to the church about what they should do and the orders they should do it, how they should carry it out. Then he also set forth, we do this as a child of God, not because, you know, we think we should or should not. We do it just because we don't give offense first to the Jews, who may not understand it because of their culture and religion, then to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles are not anything of God unless they go through the judicial system, and now it'd be open up to the Gentiles. And no doubt he's talking to Gentile Christians here too. But first of all, he seemed to divide the two, because now in the age of grace, you have Jew and Gentile in the church. So it seemed like he said, don't offend the Jew, don't offend then the Gentiles, and then he talks about don't offend the church of God. In other words, Jew and Gentile are in the church of God in the age of grace. They have to be saved just like everybody else does. And so he put both of these in the church. And he said the strong Christian should always be the person who would literally not have put a fence or stumbling stone in somebody else's path who may not be the grass them because of their spiritual growth. Surely by the time we've been saved 50 years or more, or maybe 35 years or more, we ought to have a lot of things already settled if we've been in this book. If a person is not in this book and been saved, you can be a Christian 75 years and never know much. If you get all you get just by what you hear someone say, you'll be confused. Because what people you hear say have a lot of different opinions about things. And this is a chapter, I know I can't do it justice, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend a lot of time in it for the night. And let us understand how God presents something in the church that was not a problem this particular day, that bad, even though Paul brought it up, and it was brought up for a reason, no doubt. Then he says, even as I please all men, in verse 33, in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Well, that's a wonderful testimony of a Christian. He said, when it comes to someone else in this life, he said, even as I please all men in all things. Now listen, he's not saying all things in the sense of the world. Paul knew enough that, I mean, I don't think Paul would say, you know, I have some drinking buddies on, please, I'm going to go drink with them. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'd say, well, you know, I got some buddies that, you know, that gamble all the time. I like that. I'm going to just, what are you going to do that for? I'm going to try to win them to the Lord. That won't work. Satan's more powerful than that. Because the flesh enjoys certain things, ladies and gentlemen. If we practice those things, then now we're saved. Sooner or later, the practice will overcome what we think we are. We are not strong enough to defeat these things in ourselves. And sometimes you have to, Paul says, stay from the appearance of evil. Then we have victory to those things, you see. So we're talking about the things here that has to pertain to Christ. If something was simple, someone's from an idol and been worshiping something and can't put it together, he lay out the information that God had given him. But he says if something was that he was doing at the time, you've heard me say this before, which brought offense to a Christian, really to Paul, it didn't make any difference. He said, I just removed the stumbling block. And then he comes down in verse 11, chapter 11, and he makes this. And he gives Christ his order in the church. And that's what he talks about. First of all, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now, Paul could say that because he was practicing the things he told them that they should do and not do. And he said, now, be ye followers of me. Not just the fact that I've come up with these things, but as I followed Christ. That ought to be us. You see, if you and I are following Christ like we should, things will be right. Amen. That's right. Things will be right. Or we wouldn't be doing them. If you thought you were following Christ doing something wrong, I'm sure anyone in here, if you're saved, say, man, I wouldn't be doing that if I thought it was wrong. On the other hand, there's a lot of things that we read about today in our society that different cultures say things are wrong. You can't really prove how wrong they are. And therefore, you have controversy with those things. So you have to go back and ask God to give wisdom. And I pray tonight, God to give wisdom. As you talk about this particular chapter, everybody here will probably be somewhere along in this place that God give wisdom. If you really say, God, show me beyond what the pastor says. In turn, where I should be, because what important is, I'm going to stand before you one day. And so he goes on. Now he said to the church at Carthage, he talks about an order. This is the Christian order in the church here. Watch. He said, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I have delivered them to you. Isn't that an amazing thing? You've heard me say this is more carnal church than there is in the Bible. And here, Paul has sent some things to them that confuse them, I'm sure, because of Gentile life of the past, of gods and hundreds and even thousands of gods in some of these places. And now they come along, all those gods are gone, and he's laying out orders for them how what should be done as far as the church is concerned. And he encourages them. I mean, he praises them for the fact they remember what he had taught, and they kept those orders. They may have been doing some things that were wrong to start with, but when Paul wrote and told them about that, they began to line up with the ordinance, and that's what he praises them for here. Now, notice again verse 3, because verse 3 is a captured section where in turn lets us understand what the other some other things have been said here. Now, verse 3 we looked at last week about head who was ahead. He said, I would have you to know, this is something he would have you to know, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And of course, we know there's some plate characteristics of that because in this case, the man should be living for God. God does never set forth that a woman should follow her husband just if he's living in sin. She may give reverence to him as her husband, but ladies and gentlemen, God never gives us an exception any time to sin. And sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, I want my husband to get saved, and I just figured if I'd start going with him and going places he'd go and show him certain things, then it wouldn't really matter that much. No, you have to stand. Listen, we don't understand how weak we are even though we're saved. And that's when Paul said, abstain from the very appearance of evil. There has to be a place we have to draw the line. But it ought to be something we know thou shalt not do as far as the scriptures were concerned. And so he goes on and he sets forth. Now we look at from our standpoint, he talks about that the head of the man is the Christ and the head of the woman is the man and the head of Christ is God. So let's reverse that. What he's saying, you got God. And then you got God, who's the head of Christ. And then you got Christ, who's the head of the man. And then you got the man, who's head of the woman. Now, that's the way from God's viewpoint. You heard me say before, even though God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are all three one, they have alignment of duty as they began to do God's plan. You have the throne of God, you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Then you have a break. You heard me say many times that we have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. The perfect alignment is when that new creation takes place, and Jesus takes God's hand in our hand and brings us together. Then if we're where we ought to be before God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our soul, our body. You see, the body's at the end. If you have that line right coming from the throne of God, your body's going to be different when you get out there in that world because you bring yourself into subjection to this body. or bring the body in subjection to you and I. We have a direct information through the Word of God that teaches us these things. So now, Paul is setting forth here that we're talking about headship. And when you read the rest of this story, of the Word of God, we have to determine what head we're talking about. And then he goes on, he said, every man praying or prophesied, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, the word prophesy, just the speaking by the God's power, projected. Some people talk about projecting the future and so forth in the Old Testament. God did have prophets that prophesied the future. But the main thing is a man who stands and teaches by the power of God, influenced by God himself. And he talks about he should have his head uncovered, and he talks about having his head covered dishonors his head. If it's not uncovered, it dishonors his head. We said last week, it's simply God is saying that with his head uncovered, since he is, God is head of Christ and Christ is his head, uncovered means that he's completely symbolically yielding to God or to his head, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's symbolic that he is open to Christ. That is, there's nothing hindered. Head's off. Nothing is hindered. He's actually symbolically open completely to Christ, in which if he is, he's open to God, because God in this line is the head of Jesus Christ. And so when I got, we went there and didn't go no further. Now, always these things, people say, well, you know, it'd be nice to go a little further, because this gets, that this so far is pretty easy to explain. But when you get down other, many folks already got their mind made up what they think the Bible has said about these things. I mean, where you add on the podium, so to speak. But let's go through it and just see what we can find out together. Now, I want you to know this as I go into this, ladies and gentlemen. Prophecy, when you look at that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, prophecy was the foretelling of salvation that was yet to come and foretelling the things that God was going to do in the future. In the New Testament, prophecy is the fulfilling and publication of the salvation already been accomplished as is taught and also given what God's going to do in the future. The only difference was in the Old Testament, when prophets would come for the future, God made up certain ones to come and report what was going on then and give prophecy that's immediately going to happen and to the future is going to happen. But you and I in the New Testament, we have no prophecy beyond the Bible. Now, I'm sorry. We live in days of day. Everybody's telling what's going on. It's not Bible. Someone go to heaven, come back. Next thing you know, they tell what's happened in heaven, what they're told to tell. It amazes me. People come back from heaven, don't say one thing about trusting Christ, getting born again, getting ready to prepare to meet God. They're talking about everything in the world but that. But here you find that prophecy is that which in turn is already discerned as far as God is concerned in the New Testament. New Testament prophets were to the church what the Old Testament prophets were to Israel. The only thing about it is our prophetic message has come from the Word of God. Everything that God says about the future has to come from the Word. God is not inspiring people of something in the future that he wants us to know that he's not already told us about. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't believe that. I've had people tell me that God spoke to them all the time. I've had God speak to me too, but it's in the quiet hour of this book. This is God's Word. And ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're losing out today. Satan trying to grab people of Mickey in the spiritual world, making them believe things and not even biblical at all, because someone else comes along and said God visited them a visit and told them something that's contrary to the Scriptures. Well, God warns us about that, and I'm going to give you that to start with. If you look in Revelation with me, go over there, and you know where these are at. We've said them many times together. In Revelation chapter 22, here's what God told John to say. As the Holy Spirit, as Jesus talks about the end of the age, and John gives this record, he said, I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophet, of the prophecy of this book. I'm testified to every man that hears the words of the prophet of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add him to the plagues that are written in this book. Isn't it amazing? God has given us, it's in this book, the things in this book. And he says, anybody adds anything to what he's written that's in this book, he said, I'll put the plagues on. And that goes for nations too. And then he said, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written. That's a tremendous indictment to people who would deny what God has said and take away from his word. You see, God's word is his honor. God don't say things and don't mean it. It's up to us to find out what he said and why he said it, and the Holy Spirit's given us to do just that. And so when you think about us today, and I say this, now hear me closely what I'm saying. If it comes right down to prophecy, today, all Christians have the gift of prophecy from biblical truths. Because if I stand up here and read you a prophecy of the future that God has documented, then I am doing prophecy from the Scriptures, not from myself. And so would you. If you're teaching anywhere in this book, you're teaching in the sense of giving information that God had said. By the way, that's all prophets are, telling to people what God had said, whether it be present, past, or future. And now we have it documented. In the Old Testament, they just had the writings under the law. But now we have a more advanced situation to show how we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and God has given us the New Testament to give our lives for guiding us till we get home on the other side. And some of these things sometimes are very hard to understand. Now, I want you to notice something. One of the things I think that Paul is saying this here, church at Corinth had a lot of problems within it. And if you look at verse 5, 6, 7, down in 10, you can begin to see that God is setting forth the distinction of being able to see male and female and tell them apart. That's the whole criteria in this thing when it comes to what we should do and what we should not do. Now, it's a known fact when you talk about prophecy in this, women had much freedom, more freedom in the New Testament than they had in the Old Testament. And never were they allowed, even though they had this freedom, to be an elder in the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us that forcefully when he talks about the bishops, which is the same thing, kind of like a pastor over a church. And he tells us in verse 2, he said a bishop must be blameless. Amazing, he didn't say sinless, but blameless. That means that blameless means that if you knew something was wrong, you got it right and you forsook it. But he said also, the husband of one wife, vigilantly, soberly, a good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, here, God is not giving this to hurt anyone. He's saying this is the way it's got to be for order in the church to keep anything from being destructed, that because someone may get an idea or have some idea that's opposite of what he has to say, he has a record for us here in this particular life. And so here we find that if you go back and you look, somebody said, now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, this is what God is telling, not the church, telling the church, not the world. The world do a lot of things in its own. It has no bearing whatsoever on the church. But he's talking, this is the order of the church. Now, when you come to the Bible, some people say, well, then women should never teach. Now, if I understand this, the next verse said, every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even as one if she were shaven. Now, what is this saying? Because the man uncovers his head, symbolic of open to God. And the woman, which is next in line, it's not she's any inferior. Women, by the way, we're equal in the body of Christ. Every one of us here, male and female, equal in the body of Christ. We're saved just alike. We're forgiven just alike. And we're equal when it comes to, I can prove that to you. Look in Galatians again, if you will, and we'll see where Paul talks to Galatians, church at Galatians, about this subject. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 26, 27, 28, 29. Now, sometimes people say, well, you just put harness on women, not do anything. No, God uses women. In fact, women are probably some of the heart of the church when it comes to what they do and how they work and so forth. But again, they realize also there are some things that God limits because of order. Get things out of order, the church will go to havoc. It'll split. It'll have a lot of problems in it. And it comes out to the face. You begin to become more liberal and become more aggressive towards the modern-day thinking rather than the old paths of the Bible. And Paul's not being harsh here. Somebody say, well, Paul, he was just a man who was against women. No, he won't. He's under the Holy Spirit here anointing to write this. And I pray God help us put it together. But if you notice this, in verse 26 of chapter 3, he said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Hit this a little bit last week. Notice how we come children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you something, folks. You hear people talk today, oh, we're all children of God because we came from Adam. Not according to that verse. We are created of Adam through procreation by natural birth from Adam. But we are not children of Adam just because we're born children of God, I should say. We are children of Adam, but not children of God just because we're born in this flesh. He tells us, ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I don't need nothing else. If you didn't have another verse of the scripture proved to me, that'd be enough. Amen. That would be enough, folks, right there. Then he goes on, he said, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. it that interesting? If you've been merged in the body of Christ, and we've shown that through the waters of baptism, that we believed in Christ. Now, if we've not been merged in the body of Christ and one goes through the baptism, water don't mean a thing, he just got wet. But if he's first merged in the body of Christ, has been saved, goes through the water of baptism, it means something. Practicing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which is symbolic that we have his life. Not only have we died with him, we rose with him, and that's our living on the resurrected side. But he says this, that for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now here, you find in Corinthians, he tells us to put Christ on, put off the old man, put on the new. What he's telling us there in that verse, listen, by you being saved, you have the power to do what Christ says to do. You can put on Christ, and you can put off the flesh of this flesh. We have that ability. We have that power to do so, because it's not us, it's Jesus Christ himself by his Spirit that helps us and energizes us to do these things. Then notice verse 28. And here is where the family movement gets such a big movement today, because they say, well, we're all the same. So that means if you, you know, women can do be everything that they want to be, just like men can be. Well, it may be in the world, but God puts jurisdiction in the church. I'm going to have to go home and make me a track, amen, 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 myself. I didn't play it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is as much truth as John 3:16. And so when you see what he's doing here, look in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, and that includes the human race, notice, for you're one in Christ. Amen. Now, why is this? You're one in Christ. We're equal, ladies and gentlemen. We understand these wonderful truths that we're talking about here. As a matter of fact, it's the fact that nowhere did Paul mean or hint that the difference meant inequality or inferior to each other. Our women and our wives and the men and husbands are not inferior with each other when it comes with Christ. We're all saved just alike. We as men didn't do anything to get saved. Women didn't do anything to get saved. How are you saved? We're all saved by God's grace. We've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So when we come, listen, no one in God's family is any less than anyone else. No one in God's family any more than anyone else, except in rank where God calls them in position. And then he does that based on availability. Hey, you're here tonight in the house of God. You had the chance to do that. You did that. You did that. Some can't come because of physical problems. We understand that. But the fact you came here tonight, you used the ability you had to be in the house of God tonight. You know there'd be something here, somehow or another. It might be dry, but it'd be something here. It would help if I can just get a little spiritual morsel of God's word for my new creation. It would help me and help me understand my life as I go through this life. So if there is to be peace with the church, there must be order, and order requires rank, because you can't have order and have everybody president. You can't have order and have everybody generals. You can't have order and have everybody bosses. You can't do it. Now, the world can change around, but God has a different changing method. That is, they meet the requirements. When they don't meet the requirements biblically, then there is an era where they will find they will be serving God in another capacity where they can meet the requirements. So I see here God's unit has order. We become one in Christ, equal to each other. But there's got to be order. And in that order, hey, there's no one here who would deny that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are equal with each other. But notice when they've worked the work of God's plan, they have order. It is Jesus who's praised to God the Father. It's the Holy Spirit came at Jesus' command to live in us and represent him. That's order. You have a soul, you have a spirit, soul, and body. This body we see all the time, and if we don't care for, not careful, it'll convince us anything, any old way is all right. If you enjoy, that's when I hear so. And I hear somebody say, "Boy, you know, anything this good don't not be bad." My mind then said right there, "Man, are you on the wrong track?" Sometimes people look at sin, anything this good, man, alive, the flesh can enjoy this good if it all be bad. They think the flesh controls them, and by the way, in that case, they probably do. But God is saying, "You've got a new creation now." A quickened spirit, a soul that's been made alive, living in this body, which in turn gives you the capability to bring in things in subjection as you learn, like a little child being born physically in this life. So he goes on, go back with me now, and let's pick this up and go through these verses, get through them quick. Just don't throw no tomato at me as I go through them. That's all I ask you, amen. Notice what he says. Go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I love this. Because I believe it all my heart. God gives us understanding in life. Now, look down, if you will, at... let's go to the next verse. He said, every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even as one as she was shaven. Now, this head here is man. That's what he tells us in verse 3. Now, even though God is the author of all, her head is man here, even as Christ is our head, and in this order. Now, what he's looking at, he's talking about as she was shaven. If she was shaven, she looked more like a man. He's talking about a cover. Now, keep in mind, they had veils in that day, and in the eastern countries now, they still wear veils. It's a type of submission, honor. Well, the Jews did that in Christ's day. And when it came down to explain this by Jew coming in and Gentile coming in and what should be done in the church, this one section, God gives a little bit about that, about how they should look and what they should do. And then he gives in other places some things that said about their position as far as what they should do and should not do. And so he did this because of order. As a matter of fact, you will find when you talk about rank, ladies and gentlemen, best way I understand this to show what God is trying to tell me, and I'm not going to debate it, I'm not even going to argue about it, because he tells the last verse, don't do that. In verse 10, 16, he said, don't argue about it. But the other thing is this. When I was in service, I know what order is. Did you know a captain is higher than a private? Did you know that in service? And yet a private may be a better man than a captain in the sight of God. Did you know that order is needed in anything that we do? Business and otherwise in this world. As a matter of fact, rank and quality are two different things in life. And therefore, it doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It just means that person in that particular situation is a higher rank than others. That's the reason why when we have policemen, that gives them higher rank than what we are as pedestrians when it comes to the law. And yet nowadays we're trying to destroy that, aren't we? We're trying to destroy it. That helps me understand what Paul is saying here to us in the church. I'm not putting up flags everywhere and say, well, I just don't believe that because of such thing. I say that God says this because it is something that brings order and helps us in this world not defend the Jew, not defend the Gentile, and not defend the church as a whole. Now, go with me further. And he says, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if, now shorn means what? If she's not head covered for this purpose, and like I said, they used veils in that day, but Paul, when he wrote to the church, didn't say veil, he said cover. And the reason for that is because the hair had something to do with this. He didn't say that those rode the veil. He said he used covered, be covered. And that's when you see some people go a step further and put these things over their head, and also when they're in a type of worship. And of course, they go so far in some places when they use such as this, they go can't be seen in the street nowhere else. Therefore, women are put down rather than brought to equal their status, even though there's difference in ranks of concern. And in this world, a woman can rise to her ability to rise. You know, a woman can be ahead of a company, organization, if she's got that ability. There's not enough. She can be a policeman. She can be a serviceman. If she's got a servicewoman, I should say, if she's got that ability. Because this is not telling about the world. This is talking about the church. And the church should be influencing the world to see what God's plan is, see. But since the church does not, we debate these things. He said, if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. That is, her hair be cut off. But now, if it be a shame, and he puts, if it be a shame for one to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. And of course, it would be. Because if anything at all, she didn't have no hair whatsoever on her head, unless there was a providential hinder for someone who had cancer or something and lost their hair. That's beyond their ability to keep that from happening. And even then, sometimes people get wigs and things they wear. And I would too. I just don't know that I look too well bald head. I don't look too good well with hair. So here I'm finding that when Paul talks about this, he said, if it be a shame, of course it would be a shame. Didn't say it was sin, but if it be a shame, he said, then she should cover her head. Now watch. Then he said, for a man, now he comes back. Notice how he goes from man, woman, man, woman. He says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Why? For as much he is the image and the glory of God. Now why? When a man is praying or teaching, he ought to have his head uncovered. It's symbolic that he's open to God. It's symbolic that he's listened to God. And it talks about he's created as a with a knowledge and an intellect and will, and his emotions are all for the glory of God. As a matter of fact, it shows the authority of God or Christ in him. And if you go over to Psalms chapter 8, verse 5, you'll find that God said this in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 5 about man. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And so here, we who have been put in this position should honor our head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those, that is men. And then women who have been put in this position as a child of God, equal this way as the church, but at the same time find themselves honored with to their head, which is a man, the husband, and we will look at here. He said, for as much as he that is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. It shows man's authority in the family of God. It's respect for that at this particular time. Now watch. Then verse 8 says, for the man is not of the woman. He's giving reasons why. He says, the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Now how do I prove that? I've got to go back all the way to Genesis. And I got to look what God did in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And I find that God made Adam from the dust of the ground and blew into him the breath of life. In essence, when I get to the book of Luke and trace the genealogies back, I come back and I find that Adam is actually born of God. That's found in Luke. Let me turn there and find for you. He's the only one we find that created like that, that actually is born of God. You trace these genealogies back, and you find that over here. Let me find it real fast, like. It calls him a son. If you look in verse 38 of chapter 3 of the book of Luke, we start on this side, or we start here and go back to Adam, because these are the genealogies of Mary, we believe, through David. And so he says here, as he went, which was the son of so-and-so, he says, if they get to verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, how could he be the son of God if he's not born of a woman? Because that's how everybody else becomes children of God, but being born again. If in other words, he was not physical birth by a woman. Now, I go back and I see God made him. So therefore, how could he be a son of God if he's not born of a woman, as being part of the human race, being sons of men in turn, which can become sons of God through new birth? Now, this time we know that new birth makes us sons of God. But on the other hand, when you talk about what he says here, for the man is not of the woman, it helps me understand now that God made man from the dust of the ground. So Adam did not come from the woman. But then notice what he said. He said, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. So now I go back to the beginning and see God, what he said helps me understand this. Adam did not come from a woman. God made him from the dust of the ground, blew the breath of life. But woman, who was called Eve by Adam, came from man. How do I know that? Go back to the beginning. And one day God gave Adam some anesthesia and put him to sleep. You heard that story said that story has nothing to do, but wake you up a little bit. Story said that one day God came down to Adam and said, Adam, I see you're lonely. Yes, sir, God, I sure am. I want to do something for you. I'm going to make you a woman. Now, let me ask you something. Where would you like to take her from? You mean take her out of your leg? No, I don't believe so. Would you like me to take, just tell me where you want to take it from? He said, well, I don't have two legs. This is a funny story, now laugh. He said, well, what about your arms? He said, but I don't have two arms. He said, where do you like to take me from? He said, Lord, how about taking from a ribs? And the Lord said, why do you want it from there? He said, I have a lot of them. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad that I can laugh and know that my God loves me. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he made one from every one of his ribs? Then we'd have had more than one wife. Oh. Amen. Thank you, brother. No, but anyhow, come back and we'll see again. He says, for the man is not the woman, the woman is not the man. But now, watch this. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Isn't that interesting? She's our helpmeet. She's our encourager. Even though we find in 1 Timothy again, as Paul speaks about the woman, he says there's some things about it in life that disrupts the order if it's not kept intact. And he talks about what women should do. If you go back in chapter 2 and go down some things, I'm going to do this because I'm working a message on 9, verse 9 right now, but I'll just look in verse 10. He said, or verse 11, he said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor serve authority over the man, but be in silence. Now, that doesn't mean she's not able to, just the fact that it's time. Listen, let me ask you something. If Jesus Christ was here right now, and he is my head, I'd sit down and let him speak. Amen. I'd sit down and let him speak. I wouldn't have one thing to say about it, because he's in my head. And the things ain't come. Doesn't mean that I can't teach. Doesn't mean that I'm not capable to. But since the head's there, that's it. And the same thing with the woman makes me understand that for myself. These things are just not cut dry. There's got to be some reason God put a parenthesis around it so you see what's going on. And same way with a woman. When it comes down to teaching, if one is capable of teaching, doing the teaching, then the woman's subjected to her as the husband is to the Christ. But yet it doesn't say she can't teach. I'll tell you this. If it puts it this way, if I sit under a woman to listen to something, it's because I chose to. I felt she had something I need to learn. And I don't think anything's wrong with that. Because she didn't usurp authority over me. I subjected to wanting to listen to what she had to say. Amen. And all of us have done that at times. No matter what you say, you see, gun holding sometime years ago caused a lot of problems that destroyed homes without trying to find what God was saying and realize how it is applied. That is not because one is a giant over the other. It's a fact of order. You've got to have it to have order. And if you don't have order, you don't have order in your home. You don't have order nowhere else. And by the way, our wives are not our footstool. Amen. They're not our footstool. They're to be loved and cherished and looked after. I mean, just with everything we've got. In turn, therefore, they will look to see why they should be what they should be when God is pleased. Because you know what happened? I'm so thankful that God gave me a wife to be with me and go through all the years we've had when I'd be a minister. I just don't know if many women could have done that. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful, and I think she does the same we talk about as far as a husband when God has led us, because he's led us in some rough paths. But the path has been wonderful in the end results. And the thing about that is that it shows us that there's order in the home. And when there's order in the home, there's respect towards that which God has said, rather than trying to say, wait a minute now, that don't mean me. Because you're going to find it's easy. Wives, you tell me, it's easy when a husband treats you like a lady or a king than it is when you treat her like some dirt somehow or another. Amen. So that's what we need to see. Christ is not going to teach us like dirt. He says we're joint heirs with him. God does, with Christ. And so what we're saying, I'm not saying anybody did that to him, but I'm trying to show you an example of what God has said in order here. When things are in order, things work smooth. You know that? You take a machine. If all the parts of the machine are working in order like they should be, it works smooth. Let one little cock balk out, and you've got a whole day trying to fix that thing sometimes. Why? Something's out of order. Lord, I sure hope when I stand with you one day, you'll say I did a good job tonight. Amen. Notice what he said, though. Then as he said this, he said, but I suffer not one to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Notice he noticed the authority over the man. No one's authority over me if I subject myself to that. The authority is over me when I have nothing to do with it and can't do nothing about it. Then notice he said, for Adam was, and this is what he's leading to, Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. He gives a reason why this. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue the faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That helps me understand a little bit about how I can see why God put a person there if there's order. If there's any place out of order, the chaos sets in. It may not right then, but it sets in. Anything out of order will set in chaos before it's over with, and it gets worse and worse and worse unless it's checked. And so go with me again back to 1 Corinthians 11, and we're just about through. Notice he said this, verse 10. After he said, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. He said, for this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. Now, that's an amazing thing to me, Faith. I've looked at that and looked, and I've read commentary, and I've read and studied, and that I don't know if anybody understands what has happened there except the angels mentioned must be present. Isn't that what he said? There's something that affects the angels here. And I think this is authority as we look at when it comes to the angels. In other words, he said, what you do may offend even the angels. And the angels certainly that are good now, not in those in hell, not, but those angels that didn't go into the where God put them in hell, which enlarges itself today because man's headed in that direction. But those angels didn't go there. We know we got ministering angels. The scripture says that. We probably have guardian angels. No telling what they see, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, they are real. Amen. They're not just stuff you see on the news and television, things like that. No one of us have ever seen a real angel. We've seen some of the Old Testament saints did. And sometimes even angel men representing Jesus Christ. And so he said this because another reason you ought the woman to have power over her head. That is, you have got the cover that's right. And in our day, people used to wear hats, but now you'll find later he talks about the hair being a cover. And so he goes on. He said, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither is the woman without the man in the Lord. Both are needed. What Paul has said, both male and female, husband and wife, is needed in the family of God with this order that's there. And then he said, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. And then notice he said, for the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. In other words, woman was made from man, and man is born from the woman. I hit this a little bit, I just hit it last week. He said, just keep in mind that when it comes for woman, she came from man. God made her from man. Well, that makes me the authority. No, wait a minute. You also came from a woman. Every person born since Adam's day came from a woman. Amen? So he said, listen, this is it. You both need each other. By the way, because we need each other in the church. And that's what Paul said. We need this unit in the church for the glory of God. Then he goes on. He said, judging yourself, is it comely that a woman pray to God uncovered? Or is it properly? Does it seem right when you think about it? Of who the head of each one is, that she would do this. I mean, to think that if man covers his head, it's symbolic of not being under God and symbolic to the place that he's not open to Christ. And that's what he said, his head is covered. That means he's in rebellion. On the other hand, when you look at the female, the helpmeet that God gave man, who are equal together in Christ, but at the same time in rank, a little bit different, when she covers her head, or at least has the hair there, it does that. And of course, covering helps, but in fact, the covering the head shows that she's subjected. And then he goes further and talks about the hair. Watch. He said, judge yourself, is it coming that a woman God cover? A woman pray unto God uncovered. Then he said, does not even nature itself. Now watch, this brings this in. This is where a lot of folks talk about long hair. And by the way, the Bible doesn't tell us how long hair should be on a man. It doesn't tell us. But I think there is a sign that God has given this whole thing that you can tell the male from the female. Because God made male and female. You can't have another reason why. God made male and female. Watch. He said, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Now up here, she said in verse 7, the image and glory of God, his head was, but the woman is the glory of the man. In verse 7, he said, the woman is the glory of the man. Why? Because that's encouraging to him. That's encouraging to that husband. That helps that husband see that he's something in her eyes. And by the way, somebody say, well, I tell you this, preacher, I don't like my husband trying to be a king. Why not you, his queen? That puts you level. That puts you in the same place, eating at the same table. Been honored to some degree because he's honored, you'll be honored. Every king needs a queen. Praise God. And men, you know what I mean. When God gives you a wife that's like a queen, she needs to be treated like a queen. Amen. You think the Queen of England is treated like somebody on Main Street of London? She's honored, isn't she? Then he says this, watch this. This is what amazes me, ladies and gentlemen. In Christ we're equal. Rank is different. But when he said, if a woman have long hair, it's glory for her, for her hair is given for her a covering. Now, he said, it's a shame, and again, I grant you that my thinking of long hair, I don't know where the length is as far as man is concerned. And I don't know exactly as far as a woman is concerned, as long as it looks like a female. But I know this, there's a limit, but you don't know and I don't know. God didn't tell us. I've looked this Bible over, and if you find anywhere at all, the only place you find a few times he did allow some to grow hair like Daniel because that strength was in his hair. I wish I could grow it and have strength in it. Man alive, that would be something, wouldn't it? Notice he said in verse 16, we close though. But if man seemed to be contentious, if he's going to argue about it, it's not given to argue. It's given to bring convictions of what needs to be done. But if a man seemed to be contentious, he said, listen, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. He said, don't argue about it. I want you to know our custom is to do what he's saying right now. We have no such custom, neither the churches of God in this day. In other words, what he said in fourth, ladies and gentlemen, Paul is talking about the church, not the world. And he said, this is for the church, for us to be sure that we don't identify in such a way to call offenses when it comes to the child, to another child of God in the world. And he's given us an example here, the fact that he said simply this, that you as a lady should be able to look at me as a man and see me and know that I'm masculine, I'm a male. And I as a man ought to be look at a lady and know that she's feminine. That marks the difference. And in where that level is at, is this. I think, aren't you glad, ladies, and, you know, covering the head would be one thing, but he said the hair is to cover. Aren't you glad that God gave you something that could be covered? I guess the longer this would be, the more it would be covered, but you'd have something covered. And yet, on the other hand, there's nothing wrong in a lady putting that cover on if she wants to, because that's really showing it. But in Age of Grace, you don't see that. Years ago, when I was a boy, you saw it more than you do now. We have a thing of changing. And I found out right now, boy, you begin to talk about this verse, some people, they cut your head off your bow. Because they just can't see it. Why? We lower things down to the place today. It really don't matter. But it did matter in Paul's day. And it's written here in Scripture. And when I approached this, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make this seem biblically, but I want to. Because this has been discussed so many ways in our days. Everybody have their opinion about it. But I've gone through it, and I believe it all my heart, what I've told you, is truth tonight. How much is long? I don't know, but you heard the story about the fellows in the church, didn't you? I'm sure you have. He went to church first time. The preacher got up. He got preaching on long hair, and his hair was way down his back. All of a sudden, he couldn't stand no more. He got up, started to walk out. The preacher, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. And the preacher said, why don't you get one before you come to church? He said, no, I need one then. Amen. Well, this is not to make us know that we need one. But it's letting us tell us God has reason why he said things. May we be subjected to that. And I'm not going to let somebody condemn me when I approach this against the Lord with God's word and study as much as I have to say, I don't have the complete answer, but I got an answer, and it's a lot better than some things I hear other people say.
Amen.
Because you either go too far one way or too far the other way, and people get hurt, and instead of being blessed and helped in their Christian life. I pray tonight this will give you some boundaries. I'll ask you. We're not going to dictate this. We know this. You go to sing in the choir. We have requirements, you know. Not only there, but dress requirements, by the way. You say, well, that's legalism. No, that's just trying to be a Christian since we're doing what God wants us to do in singing. Our teaching, another thing we try to meet that. But I thank God for this. Ladies, don't ever feel inferior if you're saved to anyone else. We're equal when it comes to the Lord as God's children. But there is a rank. And if God calls you, that's the reason you start out. You know, no captain becomes a captain until he's a private. I've been there. I didn't rise no higher than a E6, a sergeant E6, but I know what it is to have to grow up. By the way, that's the way we are. We all come into the family of God as children, and then our talents will begin to be cultivated. As we surrender to him, then God will begin to move us in positions of rank. My Father, I thank you again for the night. bless this to our heart. Lord, this is just like you give as far as deacons. You give requirements of that. The world's forsook those in our day, but there's still requirements for that. Lord, this is the reason why you give instruction even for teachers who are teaching. Thank God that there are things that women can teach children and other women that I could never do. They understand better. I teach things about men that women could never do. Because I'm a man, and you're going to give the ability to understand yourself first before you can understand someone else. This book is there. The Holy Spirit lives in us. His joy is to teach us these things. But Lord, it's not uncommon to hear somebody hear something and run off and say, well, I don't believe that. This is what I believe, bless God, and they can't even prove it hardly at all other than the way they feel. These are the scriptures. And I'm glad Paul put that in the end. He said, there's no contention about this. There's no argument about this. Let God be the guide and guide, but let the scriptures be the guide that guides us and give us that conviction rather than just a preference. And we'll thank you for that. Bless our people this week as we go our separate ways in this world, and may people see us not just as individuals, but as Christians, because our testimony and the way we walk shows them who we are before we ever tell them. May our talk not deceive our position. May our position enhance our talk, because our talk is in line of our position. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.